So, if you were to go up to a physicist right now and ask them, what is gravity, they'd probably tell you it's the physical warping of space-time.
Right, yeah,
Like,
like a bowling ball on a trampoline.
exactly. But then if you go to a computer scientist and ask why their new AI just completely crashed, they'll say, well, it hit a logical paradox that it couldn't resolve.
Two completely different worlds. I mean, totally different disciplines.
Right. But today, for this deep dive, we are looking at this incredibly dense, ambitious academic paper. It's called Unified Framework Paper.MD. And it essentially claims that these two things, the force that holds planets in orbit and the way a computer handles a contradiction, are actually driven by the exact same underlying mathematical rule.
Which is just a massive claim. I mean, modern science loves to keep things in very neat, separate boxes.
Yeah, biologists aren't really calling up astrophysicists to figure out cell division.
Exactly. But this framework, it tries to do something that people have basically dreamed of for decades. They're proposing a single, unified mathematical theory that works everywhere, from the physical universe down to abstract cognitive thoughts.
I do have to play the skeptic here for everyone listening because, unifying physics and logic is sort of the ultimate holy grail, right? People win Nobel Prizes for just making tiny steps toward this. So, are the authors actually claiming they just solved reality, or is this like a theoretical thought experiment?
It's more that they're presenting a new mathematical instrument. They aren't saying, hey, here is the absolute final answer to the universe.
Okay, so what are they saying?
They're basically saying, we built a new type of measuring tape. And when you use this tape on gravity, and then you take that same tape and use it on artificial intelligence, you get these fundamentally harmonious overlapping results.
Okay. And at the core of all this is a brand new mathematical operator, right? The paper calls it the gravitational pull coefficient, which is represented by this cool-looking script G symbol.
Yes, script G. And that operator is the star of the show. It's a tool meant to measure the quote unquote essentiality of any component in a system.
Essentiality. I mean, that sounds kind of philosophical for a hard math paper. Let's actually unpack this for the listeners.
Yeah.
How does this pull coefficient work in plain English?
So it basically quantifies a restoration force. Think of it as, a universal stress test. You take a really complex system, literally any system, and you mathematically yank one variable right out of it. The script G operator then measures how violently the rest of the system tries to snap back or, overcompensate or just completely disintegrate because that piece is missing.
Okay, wait, is this basically like playing a cosmic game of Jenga?
Jenga. Yeah, actually, that's a pretty great way to think about it.
Right, because if I pull a wooden block from like the very top corner of the tower and
Right.
the structure doesn't even shake, that block just wasn't very essential.
Exactly.
But if I go down and pull a piece from the bottom and the whole tower just aggressively wobbles and looks like it's going to fall, then that specific block has a really high pull coefficient.
Yeah, the mechanics of that analogy map perfectly. And the paper actually gives a strict numerical hierarchy for this Jenga wobble.
Oh, really? They put
Yeah.
numbers on it.
Yeah. So if you mathematically remove a component and the system's reaction score is higher than 0.7 on their metric, it's officially called load bearing.
Load bearing. Got it.
Right. And if it's between 0.3 and 0.7, it's just enhancing. And anything below 0.3 is basically categorized as merely decorative.
So the decorative blocks are the ones you can just, flick out of the tower without breaking a sweat.
Exactly. But what's fascinating here is that we can take this Jenga concept way further because this paper doesn't just care about physical wooden blocks, right?
Why, it's universal.
Yeah, the script Jash operator acts like a massive aggregator. It takes in geometric data, topological structures, information theory, conservation laws, all of it, and it crunches them down into one single essentiality score.
So you could apply this to like a line of computer code to see if the software crashes without it.
Yes. Or you could apply it to a mathematical variable in a physics equation. It works exactly the same way.
Okay, let's take that leap then. Because if we scale up this Jenga mechanic, right, this whole idea of measuring what happens when you remove a piece, what happens when the system you're testing is literally the fabric of the universe.
Well, that takes us straight into the physical laws. Specifically, they have this thing called Theorem 5, which they name the Newton Emergence Theorem.
Newton, as in Sir Isaac Newton and the apple.
The very same. So the authors applied this pull coefficient to the most robust physical framework we have, which is the Einstein-Hilbert action.
Okay, and for the listeners, that's basically the mathematical foundation of general relativity, right? Like how massive objects warp space-time.
Right. So you take the metric of that space-time, which is just the grid that measures distances and angles in the universe, and you ask the script G operator a question.
What's the question?
You say, hey, what is the restoration force of this geometric grid if we just drop a single point mass into it, you know, in a weak field static scenario?
Wait, let me pause you there because I want to make sure I'm really visualizing the mechanism.
Right.
How does a math operator answering a question about a grid turn into actual gravity?
So when you drop mass into space-time, it stretches the geometry, right? It dents the trampoline.
Yep.
The script G operator calculates the system's mathematical demand to return to its original flat state. And because space is three-dimensional, that restoration force naturally spreads out over a sphere, which grows exponentially weaker the further away you get.
Oh, wow.
And when they run this exact calculation, the math simplifies flawlessly into Newton's inverse square law for gravity.
You mean force equals the gravitational constant times the two masses divided by the distance squared?
That exact rod.
The formula everyone learns in high school physics just naturally falls out of this Jenga essentiality operator.
It just falls out. It's wild. And they actually push it even further with Theorem 6, which is about the universal pull tensor.
Okay, what is that?
Well, in standard physics, Einstein's equations use a thing called the stress energy tensor. That just describes how energy and momentum create gravity. But this framework proves that the stress energy tensor is literally just the universal pull tensor of matter acting on geometry.
Okay, let me try to translate this because it honestly flips how we normally visualize the universe.
Go for it.
So normally we think of gravity as this invisible tether, right? Like a rope between planets pulling them together.
Yeah.
But according to this, gravity is just the universe's mathematical restoration force.
Exactly.
The mass of the planet creates a distortion, and the universe is just trying to heal that dent, trying to pull the grid back to being flat. And that healing tension is what we feel as gravity.
Yes. The equilibrium of that pull coefficient is exactly what we experience as gravitational attraction. The matter and the geometric self-pull of empty space perfectly balance each other out.
That is just a stunning way to look at reality. But I mean, gravity is only one force, right? There are four fundamental forces out there.
Mm. Right. Gravity, electromagnetism, the strong nuclear force, and the weak nuclear force.
And physics has spent, what, almost a century trying to get gravity to play nice with those other three?
Yeah.
And it notoriously just refuses to fit.
It completely refuses, which is why conjecture one in this paper is so provocative. It basically suggests that all four forces are driven by the exact same mechanism.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they claim all the forces are just pull coefficients of different essential variables within a physical system.
I definitely need some help visualizing that. How on earth does the Jenga wobble apply to, say, electromagnetism?
Well, in electromagnetism, the fundamental rule for how light and charged particles interact is described by a gauge field. If you use the math to try and remove or perturb that gauge field, the system resists.
And that resistance is the force.
Exactly. That resistance, the pull coefficient of the gauge field, manifests in the real world as the electromagnetic force.
Oh, man. What about the strong nuclear force? The one that glues the inside of an atom together?
Same principle. The essential variable there is the color charge of quarks. Quarks are those tiny particles inside a proton. They're bound together by this incredibly strong mathematical property called color charge.
And if you test it with the operator?
If you hit it with script G, the resulting restoration force is the strong nuclear force. If this holds up to testing, it means literally every push and pull in the cosmos is just a system reacting to the threatened removal of an essential component.
That would be a monumental step toward a grand unification of physics, honestly.
It would rewrite the textbooks.
But the mission of this paper doesn't actually stop at physics, which is crazy. It claims to unify gravity with cognitive processes and AI. And to me, that feels like jumping across a massive canyon.
It does feel like a leap, yeah.
How does the universe trying to heal a dent in space-time have anything to do with a computer trying to solve a logic puzzle?
So the bridge across that canyon is understanding that essential variables exist in abstract logic, just like they do in physical matter.
Okay, how so?
To map this, the framework introduces a 100-sense feature map. It basically equips a cognitive AI with 100 different dimensions, or senses, to evaluate a concept. It creates a sort of conservation law for logic.
100 senses. I mean, humans navigate the whole world with basically five. What kind of senses are we giving a computer?
Well, the paper highlights five of these as universal senses that bridge physics and logic. You've got the geometric sense, the exponential sense, the oscillating sense, the entropic sense, and the recursive sense.
Okay, that is a lot of big words.
Basically, the AI uses these to process information as if the information was a physical, tangible structure.
But here's where it gets really interesting to me. If an AI is looking at a complex problem through 100 different lenses, it is inevitably going to find contradictions.
Oh, absolutely.
And normally, if you feed a standard computer program a set of clashing rules, it just hits a wall.
That's
it freezes or it loops forever or it just crashes. It mathematically cannot handle a paradox.
Right. In AI training, that limitation is famously known as the collapse problem.
The collapse problem.
Yeah. Traditional algorithms force all the possibilities to collapse into a single point. The system is designed so it has to pick one answer, yes or no.
Right.
But this framework replaces that flaw with something they call architectural probability. So when faced with a paradox, instead of forcing the system to collapse and pick one broken answer, the math builds a multidimensional geometric shape out of the contradictions.
Wait, it builds a structure out of the paradox itself.
Yeah.
I definitely need an example of this in action.
Oh, they ran a brilliant stress test for this. They designed an algorithm called Contradiction Climb, and they asked it a notoriously difficult physics question. Is the electron real?
Oh, that is a classic trap.
Completely.
Because depending on how you measure it, an electron acts like a tiny physical speck of dust, but other times it acts like a smeared out wave of probability. It is fundamentally a contradiction.
Exactly. So they fed the algorithm 20 clashing contradictions about the electron. Localized point versus extended wave. Conserved mass versus borrowed quantum energy. Superposition versus collapsed state.
And a normal flat algorithm would just crash right there.
Instantly. But using architectural probability, the system actually began to crystallize modes of truth.
Crystallize. So instead of the Jenga tower collapsing under all that paradox, it just started building new floors out of the conflicting blocks.
Yes.
How did it even process them? Did it just slowly blur them all together?
No, it happened in these sudden, distinct jumps. The system locked into new structural shapes when it was simultaneously holding 4, 8, 12, 16, and eventually all 20 contradictions.
Hold on. So forcing the computer to hold more conflicting information actually gave it sudden jumps in mathematical clarity.
Yeah. And the final output wasn't a binary yes or no. The AI outputted this stable mathematical shape they termed real is dual.
Real is dual.
Yeah. The AI essentially concluded that the electron is a point in field, collapsed or not, entity. It preserved every single contradiction perfectly inside a stable geometry.
Okay, this is where the paper just blew my mind.
Yeah.
You are saying that an actual logical paradox is a mathematical feature, not a bug.
That's exactly what they're saying.
But I want to know the how. How is the computer mathematically able to hold 20 contradictory truths without entering an infinite error loop? Like, what's happening under the hood?
The answer is in the S5 CGT convergence theorem.
Okay.
It basically outlines a shift from flat optimization to what they call spinorial spherical optimization.
Binorial spherical optimization. We might need to break that jargon down a bit.
Let's visualize how an AI normally learns. Standard algorithms use flat stochastic gradient descent, or flat SGD.
Right.
Picture a ball rolling down a bumpy, flat landscape, just trying to find the lowest valley. That lowest point represents the solution with the least error.
Makes sense.
But if the problem is full of unresolvable paradoxes, that landscape doesn't have a bottom. It's just an infinite downward slope. The ball rolls forever and the computer crashes.
So the AI just keeps chasing its own tail, looking for a bottom that isn't there.
Exactly. But by moving the math to a spherical parameter space, everything changes. The algorithm is no longer on an infinite flat plane. It's moving along the surface of a multidimensional sphere.
Oh. And on a sphere, if you travel in a straight line, you eventually just orbit back to where you started.
Precisely. Because the geometry curves back on itself, the infinite downward slope becomes a closed loop. The math literally wraps around the paradox.
That is so elegant.
It really is. The algorithm finds a stable limit cycle. It just orbits the contradiction rather than falling into a bottomless pit.
So by just changing the shape of the space the AI is thinking in, a fatal paradox turns into a stable orbit.
Yes.
And let me guess, this spherical space connects directly back to our script G pull coefficient.
The connection is direct. Just as physical space-time curves to balance the pull of a massive planet, The AI's cognitive parameter space curves to balance the pull of these contradictory logical rules.
Wow, the exact same mathematical reaction happening in two entirely different realms.
It's incredibly unified.
Okay, so we've covered the physical laws of gravity and the cognitive mapping of paradoxes. But to truly unite physics and logic, the paper has to redefine the actual arena where all of this happens, right? Like empty space itself.
Right. Which brings us to the graph space-time hypothesis.
Sounds intense.
It is. The paper argues that space-time isn't a smooth, continuous sheet of rubber, which is how we usually picture Einstein's universe.
Right, the trampoline.
Exactly. Instead, it proposes that space-time is discrete. It's a multi-graph made of trillions of microscopic nodes, literal atoms of space, and edges connecting them all together.
So you're saying reality is pixelated? Like if you zoom too far into a digital photo, or look at a giant social network graph.
That's it. And what we perceive as perfectly empty, still space is really just a steady state of this network.
A steady state?
Yeah, empty space is just a region where the microscopic rewiring events nodes rapidly connecting and disconnecting perfectly equal the unwiring events over time.
That reminds me of looking down at a massive city from an airplane window at night.
Oh, that's a great visual.
Right. Because from high up, the city looks completely still, just a solid glowing blanket. But if you zoom all the way down to street level, there are millions of cars and traffic lights constantly starting, stopping, turning. It's super chaotic, yeah. But from a macro scale, it looks perfectly balanced.
Let's actually evolve that city analogy, because Theorem 3 in the paper brings quantum mechanics into this.
Oh boy, quantum mechanics.
Just imagine the cars in that city aren't just driving on roads. Imagine they are teleporting between intersections based on fluid probability rules.
Okay, teleporting traffic. Sure, I'm with you.
The paper uses a concept called Madelung equivalence. It shows that Schrödinger's wave function, the core equation for how quantum particles behave, can actually be treated as a complex valued fluid.
Okay.
And this quantum fluid is literally flowing through the exact discrete graph network we just talked about.
So the bizarre teleporting nature of quantum mechanics is really just the fluid dynamics of this pixelated microscopic traffic grid.
The math aligns perfectly. And to prove that this all ties back to the script G operator, the authors tackle Theorem 7, which is about Bekenstein-Hawking entropy.
Wait, Stephen Hawking's famous equation for black holes.
The very same. The formula states that the entropy of a black hole is proportional to a quarter of the surface area of its event horizon.
And physicists have always thought that was a weird detail,
oh,
right?
God.
Like, why does the information of a black hole scale with its 2D surface area instead of its 3D volume?
Exactly. It's been a beautiful mystery. But how does the pull coefficient answer that? By treating the boundary of the black hole as a network of nodes.
Ah, the graph.
Right. The authors just calculated the sum of the pull coefficients for all the graph edges right at the scale of the event horizon.
Mm.
When you measure the Jenga wobble of the spatial graph right at the boundary of a black hole, the framework perfectly derives Hawking's formula.
Okay, let me just make sure you listening are grasping the sheer scale of what was just said. Hawking's legendary black hole equation works seamlessly if you treat the edge of the black hole as a pixelated network, and then calculate the essentiality of those pixels using the exact same math operator that just solved the AI paradox.
Yes. The fluid dynamics of quantum mechanics, the geometric snapping back of gravity, and the contradiction climbing of cognitive AI are all just different expressions of the single graph network reacting to the pull coefficient.
But, I mean, math can look totally perfect on a chalkboard and have nothing to do with physical reality. Do they offer any way to actually prove this pixelated universe exists?
They actually do. A true physical theory needs testable predictions. Mm. The author suggests looking at the cosmic microwave background radiation.
The afterglow of the Big Bang, right?
Exactly. If space-time is truly a discrete multigraph, there should be specific graph-correlated signatures, tiny geometric irregularities hidden in that radiation. If we build telescopes sensitive enough to find them, it would validate the math physically.
So, let's step back for a second and just survey the ground we've covered today.
It's a lot of ground.
We started with one single tool, the gravitational pull coefficient, this math operator that tests how aggressively a system reacts when you pull a piece out. And we watched that operator derive Newton's gravity and explain Einstein's space-time as a geometric restoration force.
Right.
Then we watched it bend a flat plane into a sphere so an AI could build this beautiful architectural truth out of 20 unresolvable paradoxes. And finally, we saw it describe the entire universe as a buzzing, pixelated network of nodes, tying black hole entropy to quantum fluid.
It really is a breathtaking synthesis of disciplines, but, you know, we should definitely return to the author's own humility here. In the discussion section, they aren't declaring victory over physics.
No, they're handing over a tool.
Right. They are offering this new primitive calculus they built called Paradox Lang and the Script G operator. They are inviting the entire scientific community to stress test it, break it, and find out the true limits of its unifying power.
It's an invitation to view the universe through a totally different lens. Mm. And, you know, it leaves me thinking about that very first concept we talked about, measuring the essentiality of something by plucking it out of the system and measuring the chaos left behind.
The Jenga tower.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we take that cold mathematical operator and apply it to the way you understand your own reality, what is the single most load-bearing assumption you hold about your life? And what kind of restoration force would you feel if someone suddenly pulled it away?